Welcome to St. Louis on the Air, a production of St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Emily Woodbury, in for Elaine Chaw. In the St. Louis Place neighborhood on Hogan Street, there's a lot the size of about three basketball courts put together. It's home to New Roots Urban Farm, where volunteers and neighborhood kids grow collard and mustard greens, various root vegetables, and other produce. The North St. Louis Farm helps feed the people who live nearby, and the resources and tools that New Roots shares with aspiring farmers cultivates much more than the food produced. Antoine Adams is a St. Louis native who owns and co-directs the farm. He talked with Elaine earlier this week to share his personal journey and the farm's mission.
So, can you paint a picture for us, Antoine, about what New Roots Urban Farm looks like when it's in its most active growing periods?
I would love to. So imagine lots of sunflowers. That's my favorite plant to plant. I love sunflowers. So imagine lots of sunflowers, the sun shining, hearing chickens in the distance, lots of kids running around, people talking about different things around animal husbandry and regenerative agriculture.
How does the farm feel?
Feels good. I mean, I love that place. It changed my mood if I'm having a gray day when I step into the farm. And I hear that from all people that come and visit, that it kind of really, really catch them and make them feel at home.
And I understand that there's something called cuddle therapy. That's part of what people experience. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's one of our main things that we do. When you come in, we show you the chickens, and we allow folks to hold a chicken or hold a baby bunny. And we really believe that makes you feel good. If you hold a furry little cute baby bunny, it changes your mood. And I got a little saying that if you hold a baby bunny, you don't leave here and hurt anybody. And so I really believe that you hold a baby bunny and it just changes your mentality.
And just to clarify, are we talking about chicks or chickens?
Chickens and chicks.
Oh,
we
wow.
have both. Yes,
okay.
We have ducklings and half turkeys.
Okay.
And yes.
Wow. So the sign that is posted at 1832 Hogan Street, I drove by there recently. It says New Roots got its start in 2004. Tell us about the farm's roots.
Yes, so the farm was started a little over 21 years ago. It was a group of folks, not from that neighborhood, not from St. Louis, but they was tired of the role that the government played around low-income families, poor families, around eating healthy. And they really wanted to bring food accessibility to that community. So they bought that space and they promised each other to grow as many fruits and veggies as possible and teach the community how to grow it for themselves.
So at what point did you become involved with New Roots?
13 years ago, I was a stay-at-home dad, and my kids was getting older, going off to school, and I was watching a bunch of survival shows. and I really took a liking to that type of TV, and I really wanted to raise some birds of my own in the backyard. And I met a friend of a friend who introduced me to one of the leaders of New Roots Urban Farm at the time. And they told me he was harvesting birds. And so I went over there to see what that entailed. I didn't know harvesting birds was getting them ready to consume. But that leader, he asked me, did I want to do it?
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, heck no, crazy man that I'm meeting for the first time today. No, I don't want. But he sat me down and he gave me a long speech like, hey, man, if you eating meat, you want to know where it comes from. He told me, hey, I treat my animals like I love them. I only give them the best foods. And this is the best meat you ever had in your life. And so he convinced me that day to harvest a bird. I took that bird home and cooked it and fed it to my family. And it was some of the best meat I ever had. My family was so satisfied. I felt empowered by this whole experience that I just did. And I just fell in love with the place. I've pretty much been there every week since that moment happened 13 years ago.
At that time, were you living close to the farm or?
No, I moved out to the suburbs. So I was born and raised in that neighborhood. Born and raised. Like, I walked those streets. I even lived on the same street as New Roots Urban Farm as a kid. So I played in those vacant lots before it was a farm. So that's the area of the city that's dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I live 20 minutes away in a suburb.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the introduction to New Roots happened when you were an adult, but I understand that your introduction to farming actually came when you were quite young.
Oh, yes, yes, really young, really, really young. So I was exposed to farming around 7 or 8. My mom was friends with a few people who love gardening, and so me as a little kid, I was always interested, go hang out with those folks, trying to figure out what they're doing. One of my best friends to this day, he's actually our farm manager.
Mm.
I give him a lot of the credit for exposing me to this when I was 7 or 8 years old. He was a white guy, kind of a hippie type. And so I used to see him in the neighborhood raking grass clippings. And I always thought that was kind of weird. What the heck is he doing? He's raking grass clippings. And he was using those things to compost or using them to build up his soil. And so I just started hanging out with him as much as possible, trying to figure out what he was doing. And I really got a love for it around 7 or 8. But, of course, being a kid in that neighborhood, I found everything to do but go garden.
Sure, sure.
But even before then, my mom used to let me out in the backyard when I was 2 or 3 years old. And she'd say I used to play in the dirt. And when I come back in a house, only thing that didn't have dirt on it was my thumbs, because I was a thumb sucker. I would sit there and play in the dirt. So I've been eating dirt. I had that taste for years now.
So you were also maybe immunized a little bit.
I think so. I really believe so.
So the way that you grew up in North St. Louis, how did that inform your commitment to doing the work that you're doing now?
So I grew up very low income in that community, not a lot of access to fresh fruits and veggies. I grew up the oldest of 8 kids, and I was heavily relied upon to help take care of my brothers and sisters. So they gave me a level of kind of being persistent and being tough, because I always had to be there for my brothers and sisters. But we didn't have a lot of freedom to pick and choose what we ate. Whatever was on the table, we had to eat it.
Sure.
But my mom always called me a picky eater. It was some things I just didn't like.
Right.
So I love farming because it gives me more freedom to grow these things that I do like. I really didn't like carrots because it had bad texture, because I think it was overcooked. I love fresh carrots.
I see.
Biting into a fresh carrot. I love the crispiness of it. I love the sweetness to it. Things like that allow me to have more freedom to how I eat.
So what is it that you all grow on the farm?
So I grow a wide variety of different fruits and veggies. I grow over 50 different things. Some of my favorites are carrots, radish, collard greens, and mustard greens is a staple. I always have to have those cranking out. People in the community love those things. Kale, Swiss chard. I always tell a funny story. When I first got to the farm 13 years ago, I used to try to offer kale and Swiss chard to the community of people, predominantly black and brown folks. We don't eat kale and Swiss chard. That's garnish that goes underneath food.
Sure, right.
and so that's what they thought. But you give them a bunch of free stuff and let them try it, and now I can't keep kale and Swiss chard there. The same people is eating it now because they just didn't have a lot of funds to invest.
Yeah.
$20 to $30 into buying some Swiss chard and kale. But if you give them to them for free, then that makes them more inclined to try it and figure out recipes that they love to eat. So that's one thing that I can't keep enough of. Swiss chard and kale. Last year we started growing kohlrabi. It's kind of a funny looking, alien looking like plant. And when I first introduced it to folks, they like, what the heck to do with it? But I tell them a couple different ways to do it. and give it to them for free or low cost. And it, like I said, it makes them more inclined to try it.
Right.
And that's one thing we ran out of very fast.
So that accessibility and availability, I mean, these examples of produce are, they're rather expensive items if you go to a mainstream grocery store.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The community focus of New Roots Urban Farms, how is it that the farm does provide food for community members? Is there a set price for things? How does that work?
It really ranges. We have a lot of different models that we tinker around with. The last 3 years, we gave away everything for free.
Mm.
You come in, if we have it in stock, you come pick it. I love to see folks pick it themselves. So if you come pick it yourselves, I could take a picture of it. I could turn it over to my funders. My funders will give me a couple bucks because they love seeing this great photo of these people in this element. This year, I will have to start charging a little bit. Those low-income families to moderate-income families, they will get free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But people who could afford more, I will put them on some kind of payment scale. We recently signed a lease for 1.65 acre for 9 years. And so I need to make a couple bucks to pay off this lease.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to get a new lease. We hear a lot of farmers don't have accessibility to land.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got this 1.65 acre, and a few farmers that we know used that space to create fruits and veggies or raise chickens over mm-hmm. there at that space.
And as I understand, it's the New Roots Urban Farm approach is not just about providing food, but it's also training people or teaching people who are either aspiring farmers or beginners. What is it that you supply to them that enables them to grow themselves?
Some people just need the simplest things like seeds or dirt or the knowledge or a pep talk. Sometimes in farming, you can plant some seeds, you can do everything right, and it just don't work.
Right, right.
And so I'm often telling people, try it again. Don't give up. I think one of the bigger things we do is offer technical assistance. So we always have some of new information that new and beginner farmers need, and we pass that along.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Antoine Adams Sr., who is owner and co-director of New Roots Urban Farm. New Roots is located in the north part of St. Louis City. So the farm and the food, the people who live right across the street or stay right across the street from the farm and the immediate neighborhood, what is the farm's relationship with them?
Yeah, so we get a lot of visitors from all over the city, even from Illinois. But in that community, we started to see like a lot of folks using our farm from the neighborhood, the people who live around the neighborhood. Sometimes kids just love to come hang out and see the animals. Mothers and fathers love coming and visit the farm and remind them of being on a farm when they were younger. But directly across the street is a detention center for 11 to 20-year-old boys. I started a gardening program over there where we built them a couple raised beds. They house in a flock of ducks, and we gave them a few bunnies. Just in the last 2 years that we introduced this program to them, we've seen wonders. The best thing ever is to see these group of guys arguing over whose turn is it to hold the bunny.
Oh.
These are big guys, bigger than me. Some of these kids are tough.
Right, right.
But they get into a little argument about it is whose turn it is to hold the bunny.
Mm-hmm.
They raise a bunch of crops like peppers and tomatoes, and they put those in the cafeteria and ate those last year. They got some ducks over there just to see their face light up when they see their ducks waddling around when they trying to play catch football in their yard or hopscotching over piles of manure. It's just a sight to see. I'm really big about giving these youngsters something to look forward to when they get out. Mm-hmm. I just ran into one of the students over there, and I was going into a gas station and seeing this young teenager looking at me kind of funny, and he spotted me. My car has a New Roots bumper sticker on it, mm-hmm. and he recognized me and the car and came up and gave me the biggest hug.
Oh, that's lovely.
And told me that he's looking to come volunteer. Just stories like that warm me up. I easily could have been one of these boys in that detention center, but I had a mom who kind of always gave me that dilemma. Hey, like, so I was born and raised on that block. So my mom used to give me that, hey, Twan, if you don't take your butt to school, I'm going to drop you off at the detention center across the street.
Oh, right,
and
right.
And so throughout my life, she always kind of taught me, hey, it's these two roads you can go off of. Mm-hmm. And I always chose school.
Yeah.
I didn't go the furthest in school that I wanted to, but it allowed me to know that how serious the prison system is, and mm-hmm. I didn't want to be in that situation.
So for those who are listening and thinking, I want to see and feel what it's like, not just the bunnies, but the growing in a community, how is it that individuals can get involved?
Come through. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, New Roots Urban Farm. Always feel free to stop by on Tuesdays and Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell folks, you don't have to stay the whole 6 hours. come by for 5 minutes. Come see what I'm doing. I love coffee. Come bring me a cup of coffee or something. You can always feel free to just stop by for an hour or so if you have, or you can stay the whole 6 hours. That's mm-hmm. fine. But Tuesdays and Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m., I will always be on staff.
It's winter time right now.
Mm-hmm.
What all are you doing at this point?
Oh, it's game time now. It's time to store organizing tools, organizing the farm, setting up volunteer groups, making plans for this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
I had a nice little break. I just had a new baby boy 2.5 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
So we've really been enjoying him. So I take a month off, but it's game time now. It's time mm-hmm. to get back into shape.
And you mentioned groups also come through.
Mm-hmm. We get a lot of love from college students, from the major colleges. We just had a group of 30 teenagers from Harris Stowe. Those are some of my favorite groups. They came in and helped us take care of the animal enclosures and took a bunch of pictures, helped us move some wood chips and dirt. I told them a little bit about what I do, and we really had a nice time. But we get volunteers of all kinds, of all ages come through. We even have groups that come in from out of town, out mm-hmm. of state.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How far away?
Oh, shoot. It's all of the coast. Yeah, we work with a group, Amen STL. We love those folks over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring us groups from Oregon, Washington, New York.
Wow.
We didn't probably had a group from every state in the last 13 years.
And then they carry
years.
A bit of St. Louis back.
Exactly, exactly.
From. You know, as you think about the 7 or 8 year old boy you were with, you know, so many siblings under you, growing up in North St. Louis, just starting to learn to farm, how does it feel to open the gate at 1832 Hogan Street when no one else is around, you know, to see what's there? What is it that you envision in the future?
Continue to do what I do. I tell this little story. My wife and I work with a group, Operation Spring Plant. There are mentors located in Henderson, North Carolina. And we go visit them at least once a year and learn from what they've been doing. They've been farming and gardening for probably 50 years now. And so we really love these elders. They would kind of do this thing where they drop us on our head and then they pick us up and then they drop us on our head and then send us back to St. Louis and like, you guys got potential, but you're not us yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the midst of one of those, dropped on our heads and picked up and dropped on our heads again. We drove back to St. Louis, and Mina, my wife, mm-hmm. and I opened up the farm to check on the animals off of a week-long trip there. And we opened up the gate and just head just spinning, like, what are we going to do? They said we got this potential of doing something really great, but we're not there yet. But how do we start? What do we do? And we opened up the gate, and the young man from next door, he was 8 at the time, walked past us, didn't say anything to us, walked past us, walked through the farm and said, ah, this is my safe place. And we both teared up. Mm-hmm. I think that, and my mom, who passed away a little over 5 years ago, mentioned before her passing that she wished it was a man in that neighborhood similar to me and the work that I do. Mm-hmm. And so I think our number one goal is to be access for those black and brown kids to have a safe place, mm-hmm. to learn something new, not be as tough, be gentle, look at a sunflower growing, touch a worm for the first time, see bees, see a ladybug, touch a fruit or a veggie that they never seen, touch a chicken, hold a bunny. If I can convince you to eat healthier, that's fine. But mostly I want to be a space where you can just be a kid again, mm-hmm. wander again. I read an article that a lot of black men, teenagers, don't look at the sky because they have tunnel vision of what do they have to do next, or that thing. And I feel like that's sad. Mm-hmm. I want people to be able to enjoy nature again. Get out there, feel the sun on your skin, enjoy being outside, not working.
Yeah. Antoine Adams Sr. is a St. Louis native who owns and co-directs New Roots Urban Farm. Tuan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Antoine Adams spoke with host Elaine Cha earlier this week.
This episode was produced by Jada Jones.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Production assistance by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.